This is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Lehman, and my guest today is Tyler Boone, artist and founder of Boone's Bourbon, which is right here. Hey. Tyler, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So you're a serial entrepreneur and artist. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your impressive journey.
It was always the music first. 29, so 16, playing music. Graduated college. We did some cool shows. I opened up for some big artists. I was like, I'll move to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I had a deal to make this quick. And this guy's awesome. Had a big deal with a bigger manager guy. He manages some insane artists that are like legendary. But it was more country. I don't really play country music. We lived in Nashville, but I had the deal. And the guy came along and said, hey, man, we should do a Spirit of the Name again with it. You figured out we'll do it. And it was awesome because it kind of motivated me to get something like this going with my music as a brand. And 4 years later, he never funded it. So I funded it. My dad got involved, and then we have a business partner I was talking about earlier, Pixie Paula, and it's just kind of exploded, and it coincides really well on touring and just kind of presenting yourself to, like, maybe a talent buyer or whatever, a radio station or a Spotify curator. It's like, hey, I got a bourbon, too, so it kind of makes the music more legit than just being some guy with an Instagram or something.
Yeah, and it's a private label that you launched in 2018, almost a year old, right?
Yeah, but it took 4 years.
Right.
Paperwork, funding, but last April we finally launched it.
And why did you decide bourbon?
Living in Nashville, Kentucky Bourbon Trail bleeds into it, mm-hmm. so everyone loves it. Number two, my last name is Boone, so I kind of thought that'd work, Boone's Bourbon.
Gotta capitalize on that. The natural fit.
For sure, yep.
So as you said, it was about a four-year process. Mm-hmm. What was kind of one of the biggest challenges that you faced when you were starting Boone's Bourbon?
The funding. Mm-hmm. Obviously, and number two, the state license. Yeah. Federal's pretty easy. You could apply for one today. It's not that hard. But state license, every state's different, and it's a lot of money, and it's a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to partner with this awesome distillery in Charleston called Striped Pig. Mm-hmm. And 2 months after partnering with them, this lady, Pixie Paula, came along. It's called Local Choice Spirits. She owns like a million brands. And she offered to buy us out with shares. Awesome partnership, because now we get to use every state license in the country because of her. So now we're able to move really fast, and just in a year, we're in like 9 states.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And what was the first step you took when you realized, okay, I'm serious about starting Boone's Bourbon? Mm-hmm.
The internet. I just Googled and figured it out. It's really not that hard. Mm-hmm. It's just getting all your ducks in a row and making sure you're compliant with your licenses, your federal and your state. Mm-hmm. It's called a COLA. You got to make sure that the label is correct. For, you know, obvious reasons for like FDA and stuff like that. And also just they want to make sure you're not copying somebody else's. Mm. And once that's done, you submit it and you're pretty much done.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And your other company, Artist Formula, is a little over a year old. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
That's a cool one. Me and my buddy Sean, he lives out here. He's incredible, Sean Carpenter. We met in Nashville. I was touring a lot with a guy named Will Hogue, incredible artist. And he was managing him. And now he works for McGee, like Kiss, Finish Trouble, Ted Nugent. He's real busy. So he still helps a little bit with it, but our thing is it's a la carte service, and so we help bands manage. Like, let's say they want to get their video playlist and on Tidal. Mm-hmm. Our hottest service is Spotify playlisting, though.
Okay.
And so that's kind of like radio these days. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I want my music to be discovered, and it's like the biggest discovery tool in the world. Like, 2 weeks ago, Spotify just launched in India. Mm-hmm. So now in your insights, you can be like, oh, my God, my biggest city now is in Dubai, you know, because it's one of the biggest cities in the world. So we just playlist artists on that. On both, we pitch to the official, which is the official playlist created by Spotify, and then number two, third parties, which are just as valuable. So
amazing. Mm-hmm. And tell me about the growth of Boone's Bourbon and where you guys are kind of breaking into.
South Carolina is where I live currently. Mm-hmm. And obviously in your home state, you're always going to do better. But living in Nashville, like, we got that really quick because I play Nashville a lot in Tennessee, Memphis, Knoxville. And then we got Atlanta, which is huge. And then we just got Costco. And that's going to change everything.
That'll be a huge game changer. Yep. And you sold 49% of the company. So tell me about that and that process.
So Pixie Paula, Local Choice, was like, you know, I want to partner with you. Mm-hmm. And what she gave up is, or what she gave in really, is funding. Mm-hmm. So she now funds the product. And she does this for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. She probably love to talk to a million people about it. It's an awesome platform. She does the funding, and then she does the state licensing. So it's our job to market it and promote it and get it into things like Costco or, you know, hey, maybe next month we're in Nevada. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's our job to keep it moving, and it kind of makes us both accountable for both things. Like, she's like, I'm doing my part, so you better get out there and get some sales. Mm-hmm. So it was a great partnership, and I'm glad we did it.
And were you ever afraid to fail when you first started? Because a lot of entrepreneurs, people who want to start, grow, or fund a business, don't do so because they're afraid of failure.
For sure. I mean, dude, it took 4 years, and people, I would tell people all the time, like, I have a meeting with this distillery, I drive like an hour and a half to this one in Tennessee, and I was like, I don't know this is going to happen. You know what I mean? It's really hard to break into it because there's so many brands out there. The distributor's like, are we going to actually, like, make any sales off of you?
Right.
It's really tough. A lot of people maybe do it for like a vanity project. Like maybe like a bigger artist has one, they don't own it. But the thing with me is when I go pitch it to not just distributors, but also like a liquor stores or bars where we're playing, I actually own it. So it just kind of shows more incentive, like, oh, this guy actually cares. So
yeah.
So it, for me, it wasn't really a hard rocky road. The 4 years took a long time because just figuring it out. And I was just a broke college grad living in Nashville doing the songwriter thing.
Right.
But once we got it going, it's been pretty incredibly insane how fast it's been moving.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about your entrepreneurial journey. We'll be right back. This is Business Rockstars, and this is Tyler Boone, artist and founder of Boone's Bourbon. What would you say the highest high and the lowest low has been, both with your bourbon and in your music career professionally?
The highest high, well, I guess recently with the bourbon was the Costco. That was really cool. I almost like fell over and had to call my dad. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But the lowest low, one of the lowest lows when I lived in Nashville, my roommate didn't show up. I had like $3,000. I thought I was rich. And I was like, I'm going to be fine.
Right.
You know? And he didn't show up. And then I had my buddy, thank God, let me stay at his place for a little bit. And then I got my own apartment and I was working at a liquor store actually where I was kind of like, always kind of learning about brands and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I had no money and I had to get a job. It was like 10 bucks an hour. I wasn't even making enough money to pay rent.
Okay.
So I was like taking credit cards out and paying rent with it, paying my band all these showcases. My parents would call and they'd be like, how's everything? I'm like, it's fine, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just really, it was a time for you to like kind of grow up and be a man, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to really make this work. Or if not, I'm going to have to go get a job.
Right.
And so, you know, having that, I guess the biggest motivation, I guess, to end it with is, you know, if you're hungry, you're going to work harder. You know what I mean? I had 6 part-time jobs at one point.
Wow.
Because I was touring on the weekend, and then I knew that these 3 jobs are going to fire me because I was always gone.
Okay.
So I picked up another 3 jobs. So 1 month, I was just, like, losing it. So, but yeah, I mean, I think everyone does. And it makes you learn and makes you appreciate what you have.
And so how important would you say passion plays? How important of a role does passion play in what you do, in your music and in your bourbon?
Passion makes, well, people look at it and they go, you're crazy, right? Like, how could you think that you're going to be fine with that?
Yeah.
But in your own mind, you have your own idea, your own business plan. And I think that is what really kind of, you know, gets things going, because you can tell people, like, I'm a musician, you know? It's like, oh, all right, you know?
Right.
You're playing happy hour at some bar.
Right.
You know, it's like, no, man, like, I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
And eventually you do, because no one's going to make it happen for you, too. I really can't stand it when people are, you know, they're like, how did you do it, man? It's like, I just did it.
Right.
You know, there was no rule book.
Right.
You just emailed people, called them. But, and also, too, it's all about having a really good song. Your music has to be good.
Yeah.
And then with this, like, man, when this came out, we were, like, hustling. Like, I was walking to bars up and down Charleston, like, please try it, you know? And you'll give bottles out to businesses all the time, and then you come back and, like, you give a bottle to a business, they make a lot of money for a free bottle.
Right.
And so then you come back, and you're like, did you pick it up? And they didn't. It's just, it's a lot of persistence with everything. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how do you deal with the naysayers, whether it's in your music career or in the bourbon business, who are, you know, saying, there's no way you could do this?
You just got to ignore it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny that it always comes back around.
Right.
And that person might be, you know, because music industry is just like an industry. Those people are going to move from job to job.
Right.
Same with the bourbon. And people are like, you know, they kind of like carry you off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny when it comes back around and you're like in the same room or something, like, hey, what's going on? You know, it's, you just can't ever let that unmotivate you.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to use it as fuel, like, you know, I'm gonna, and don't do it for them, do it for yourself.
Right.
But it does help a little bit. So,
and if you could go back in time to young Tyler Boone, what would you tell him? What would be the one biggest piece of advice?
I guess being younger, try to get more sleep.
Yeah, that's a good.
I slipped a lot yesterday, and it was great. But
yeah.
Also too, like, you know, I was always like, I guess you would call it lucky, but I always worked really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I would tell him is to maybe like take it in a little more, because now I look back and I go, wow, like how blessed was I? You know what
right.
I mean? But back then I was like, you get one thing, go the next. I never really took there and like enjoyed it.
Right.
So just enjoy it more, you know.
I'm super lawyer and serial entrepreneur Darren Kapanoki, here with your Legal Minute Startup Tip. You're a startup. Should you file a patent or should you consider keeping your idea a trade secret of the company? Remember, patents are public filings. So on the one hand, you get protection for your idea if the patent is granted. The downside? Since it is public, you're inviting your competitors to have a peek at your concept and reverse engineer it so they can bring a competitive version to the marketplace. Most importantly, as an entrepreneur, you've got to ask yourself, is it worth the cost? They aren't cheap. I would encourage you to ask some tough questions before rushing to file. Do you actually own the invention? Is the idea really useful? And perhaps most important is this, can I make my money back within 6 months? The answers are no. You better think before you patent. I'm Darren Cavanocchi, wishing you all the success.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare. And it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the
We are back with my amazing guest, Tyler Boone, artist and founder of Boone's Bourbon, which we have right here.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Should we do a little taste test?
Sure. You want to try some?
Yeah. Awesome. I would love to.
I'll give you a little one.
Okay. Yeah. A baby one. Baby shot.
I'll give you the rundown, the mash bill. It's 117 proof, so it's like a shot and a half.
Whew.
But it's 5 years aged.
Okay.
So it's smooth, and it's 75 corn. So to be a bourbon, it'd be majority corn. So it's actually a bourbon.
Maybe give me just like a little less of...
That'll be mine.
Okay.
And 21 rye, beautiful. 4 barley.
Okay.
That's the mash bill.
Okay.
I'll just take a sip. Cheers.
Cheers.
It'll get you.
That got me. It's good, though.
Awesome.
It's really good. So for those who are just tuning in and they're like, why are you taking these shots? Tell me about Boone's Bourbon and kind of your growth and your journey around it.
Boone's Bourbon was a private label that I started in 2014. We finally launched in 2018. Whew, still feeling it.
Honestly, me too.
Yeah. It's just so strong.
I'm like, Brittany, compose you.
Focus.
So it's really good, though.
It launched last year, but we partnered with Stripey Distillery, amazing distillery in South Carolina, partnered with Local Choice Spirits, awesome female entrepreneur, Pixie Paula, and just in a year, next month, it's in 9 states, and hopefully by the end of the month, we just hit Costco, I think we're going to be like in 4 more states, so.
Amazing.
Yep.
And you're a musician, and that is really a career in itself.
For sure.
Tell me about your success you've had as a musician.
I've had managers before, and I think growing up and starting out, people like to name drop a lot, and like, oh, I have this manager. It doesn't really mean anything, because I've pretty much managed myself, and like I've booked myself on Firefly and Dover, Delaware, which is like Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
With like that year was like Blink-182, Kings of Leon, Mumford and Sons,
amazing.
And like my name was on there twice, and I was like, what? But little name I know, I was like nobody, but they still booked me.
But that's a surreal kind of
experience.
It was
really cool, man. And then I've gone to radio a couple times. I work with an amazing company out here in Malibu, John Schoenberger, Ken Anthony, and John Denver of All Access. Mm-hmm. And so I've had my music like on radio all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just work it too, though, because a lot of people just hire somebody and like, oh, let it be.
Right.
But like, I work the phones, I work the emails. And like in LA, like 88.5 FM with Mookie, and then KX95 in Laguna Beach spins my music like all the time. And it's really
amazing.
Cool. Like I'm independent, you know? So I actually get royalty checks and it's pretty sweet. I don't have a real, this is my job, But I don't have like a 9-to-5, so it's really cool.
Yeah. And did you always know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Was it just something that kind of fell into your lap? Yeah.
No, I think I always kind of did. I knew I wanted to play music for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But then there's all these musicians that, you know, they have other things going on. Mm-hmm. And it just makes sense, right? It's like your brand and you build it. Like Dave Grohl has like a barbecue business, mm-hmm. you know, just yeah. because. Why not?
Right.
So it's really cool.
And where can people either hear your music, well, yes, hear your music, and purchase Boone's Bourbon?
You can listen to music on Spotify, mm-hmm. TylerBooneMusic.com.
And on Amazon. I listen to you on Amazon Music.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. And Pandora and Tidal, all that stuff, which I love streaming, by the way. I think it's great.
Yeah. But,
and then DrinkBoonsBourbon.com. And you can order it online. It's a whole new platform we have. If we're in your state, you can order it.
Amazing. Tyler, cool. Thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for the bourbon. It was
awesome.
Amazing.
Pleasure.
Thank you to my guest, Tyler Boone, artist and founder of Boone's Bourbon.
This kind of is like the greatest space I could imagine ever working in. I met Bruce not in the fashion industry. We met actually at a health club in New York City.
It really wasn't love at first sight. There was a bar on the top floor. And we had a drink together, and that led to dinner together, and we started dating.
We started our business in 1987, I believe, when we decided to pick up everything that we had and owned and move to Los Angeles. Here is my office, which I'm the creative director of the company and president. I have my mood boards, of course, my iconic model that we just used, Kate Moss. This is where it all happens for us. We have a great group of designers that make 360 cashmere what it is.
It's great. It really works for us.
We both have different areas of expertise in our business.
If there's a real argument about something, Leslie's right and I'm not.
We started in 2009, really at the time where the market was not good. The price of cashmere had gone down, so Bruce and I felt it was a great opportunity for us to go into that area. We had sold a company before that, so we had the experience of running a company, but this was something new because we were bringing our family into the company. This is our secret design area. We have samples, we have mood boards, and I call this group here our rock stars. It's our newest division of our company, which is Naked Cashmere, and it's where all the online business takes place. On the walls are some of our models that we've shot. A lot of these pictures are from our shoot with Kate Moss that was done in France. So believe it or not, we use this area for our design meetings. We use it for conferences with all of our employees. But most importantly is we use it as our fashion runway.
Having your kids working for the company is invaluable.
Currently, I'm the CMO, so I oversee all of the marketing of the company. But most of all, it's unbelievable working for my parents, especially. Two such inspiring role models. All we want to do is work with amazing people, which we have, and we've created great collaborations with a handful of them and continue to photograph them, and it's been really well for us.
We're in a business of taste. You know, we're in luxury cashmere. We have to be tastemakers, and then you come here, and it's incredibly creative environment, and I think everybody feels it. So when we do bring people here, whether it's bloggers, celebrities, models, everybody walks in and wants to be a part of it because it looks cool. There's always good music playing, and we have this unbelievable team here. And part of having a place like this, it gives us the opportunity to hire really great people. So that's key. So we think in every position, we can get the best people. Why not work here? Why work somewhere gross?
We love what we do. We have passion for what we do, and we love doing it together.
Career burnouts affect everyone. Follow these short tips to help you stay focused at work and not flame out by the end of the year. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Step one, change your work environment. If you can, try working from a different place. If the weather is nice, find a spot outside, or maybe spend a day working from a coffee shop, maybe a library. Sometimes a simple change in scenery can be refreshing enough to help you recover from burnout.
Step two, get an outside opinion. Sometimes you're too deep in your problems to be able to see a way out. An outside influence, whether it's a trusted friend, counselor, or family member, can be instrumental to helping you fashion a healthy plan to move forward. Step three, don't give up. The thing about battling burnout is that everybody is different. What worked for somebody else might not work for you, but the bottom line is don't give up. There is a healthy, manageable, productive life available to you. Just might take some time to find it. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Business Rockstars.
Once again, if you are trying to market to this audience of 18 to 35-year-olds, you should absolutely be on both. You shouldn't be loyal to the platform, you should be loyal to the community. And the community is the one in which you are building, not just on one platform, but holistically on social media.
This report is brought to you by Blistex. Odor Eaters is back for their 44th annual fun yet smelly rotten sneaker contest. All participants at this national contest raised a stink by showing off their foul-smelling sneakers at the annual event. Children traveled from near and far to compete at this year's contest hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not for a chance to win the national smelly title, $2,500, and tickets to the Broadway show Aladdin. But only one lucky pair of rotten sneakers could be crowned the winner, and they belong to 15-year-old Seneca Slocum from Eagle River, Alaska. And while scientists thought that the human nose could only detect about 10,000 different smells, they recently discovered that this number increased to 1 trillion, making it possible for our judges to find a new foul scent on every sniff. George Aldridge, NASA's chief sniffer.
This year's participants really brought the smells with the foulest of odors. Kids are known for getting into some stinky messes, but these kids sure have a talent.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is my dear friend, Juvon Langford. He's an international speaker, and he's a men's empowerment coach, and he is a phenomenal one at that. Juvon, it's great to have you, bud.
Yes, sir. Good to be in the house.
So, real quick, just kind of tell us, what are you up to these days?
Man, a little bit of everything. I'm traveling the globe.
I know you're all literally. Over. You're speaking.
All over the globe.
You're rocking people everywhere.
Yeah, I'm being a business rock star is what I'm being.
I love it. That's why
truly,
you're here.
That's why I'm here. That's why I got invited.
That's right. But
just truly traveling the world right now and creating community, creating content, and really conversations that support all people, but specifically men, and breaking through their challenges, their mental barriers, so they can live their legacy and truly create from a place of purpose.
I love that. And you do an amazing job at it. I've seen your videos. I've seen your workshops. I've seen the testimonies from people. Yeah. You do an amazing job, brother. And that's why you're here on the show.
Thanks, man.
So let's talk about the hardest thing about starting a business. What would you say are three traits or three tips every entrepreneur getting started needs to know?
Go first.
What do you mean by that? Go first.
Go for it. The biggest thing for me is waiting for permission. And I thought that at a certain point, someone was going to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, it's your turn. Mm. And what I realized, it's always my turn.
You got to do it.
It's always my turn.
Yeah.
And it's waiting for permission is the worst thing you can do. I think a lot of us have these visions, these goals, these missions for our lives. And if we don't have the right people around us that are supporting us and pushing us forward, then we sit stuck. And a lot of us are sitting, and we should be standing and changing and transforming lives. And so I've really stepped into something that's truly rewarding, it's fulfilling, and it's also been something that's, it's like a dream.
Yeah.
Honestly, brother.
So you've stepped into your dream. That's trait number one is you got to just do it, right? You got to give yourself permission to get started and go
Absolutely.
After the dream. Yeah. So two more things for getting started in business.
Absolutely. Is passion. Passion is the next big thing I would say. Which is the GPS of going for it. So G is go for it, right?
Okay.
Go first. PSA is passion. The biggest thing is if you're not passionate about it, there's just certain places you won't go in life, right? Passion keeps you up after 1 a.m. Passion wakes you up before 5 a.m.
Passion gets you up when you get knocked down.
Passion gives you the guts to go into a room and say, listen, this is why you should be in business with me. This is why I'm choosing you, right? Passion gives you the fuel to go places that the normal or the average person wouldn't go. Yeah. And that's something that's truly pushing me forward. I created a workshop in LA. It went phenomenally well. I had 12 guys in a room, and now I'm traveling the globe with this workshop. That's passion.
I love that.
Right? It's just something that I can't really explain. You got to be a little delusional. You know, you got to have a little
delusion. You got to be a little crazy. Yeah.
A little delusion never hurt nobody, you know? So being delusional is a big thing, you know?
Okay. So go first. Passion, number three.
S is... This is something that
lay it down. What's the S?
This is something that let me just, it's so important. Mm. This is the secret ingredient. The secret ingredient to any success. Any successful person would tell you that this is a huge part of it. Specificity is being specific, right? Specificity supports you in knowing where you don't have to go anymore. So we're going to the lane, we know we don't need this, we stay the course. And when you're specific, the universe, it honors specificity. Right, things will come. I want to make more money. Okay. Or someone will say, I have a coaching client, and he said, I want to make enough money. Enough money for what? I want to pay my bills and my house, and I just want to make enough to do this. And I'm like, are your bills paid? You know, is your family safe? Well, you're getting exactly what you're asking for.
Yeah.
Specificity. Another story, a young lady who is dying to be married. She said, she goes to a psychologist, she goes, I've been asking for a husband. I just want to get married. I just want a husband. She goes, and every guy that I meet, every guy I go on a date with, they're all married because she's been asking for a husband. So it's important that we be specific and know that what we ask for, it will come and it'll come expeditiously. And so I think getting clear and being as specific and as pointed and directed as possible with your vision, with your mission, is going to support you in really getting to arriving at that place.
How do you find your purpose in your business though? Because, you know, yeah, you can be passionate about something, but I see people that have passion, they don't have purpose.
Yeah.
So how do you find your purpose? I think personally, the foundation of everybody's purpose should be built on two pillars, growth and contribution. Growth, meaning constantly finding ways to serve your clients in a greater way and always figuring out how you can become a better version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Contribution, meaning how can you figure out how you can constantly give back and serve somebody or something that's bigger than yourself. And I think that's the foundation of purpose. And then you can get really clear on what your specific purpose is. You were talking about specificity, right?
Yeah.
Tying it in. How do you get specific on what your purpose is?
I think it's discovering and playing in the realm of what lights me up. For me, I love traveling. I just love getting on planes and buses and taxis and horses. I just love that because I'm learning, right? I'm such a student of life. I also love people. I love connecting with people, right? And one of my greatest fears growing up was connecting with men because I had no dad. I had no brothers. It was all females. And so I didn't know how to really establish this relationship. And so I've taken all three of those things and I've created a workshop that allows me to travel the globe and connect with men. Wow. Right?
So you got specific,
those
you
things
made it
light me up and I got super specific, but it's a journey as well as being gentle with yourself along the journey. And for me, getting specific and really creating that passion and really going first and going the distance, it's about relationships. And what I want to say to anybody who's watching is a lot of people are focusing on the money. It's not about the money. Focus on the movement. Focus on the people. Focus on the impact. Focus on the service. And everything else will come rushing your doorstep. And for me, that's exactly what I'm experiencing right now. I've been so focused outward on serving people and increasing my capacity, creating products, services, workshops that support people in safe spaces where they go where they wouldn't normally go. Mm. And now they're discovering who they are. They're digging deeper and they're getting that clarity of mind, right? They're building their awareness. They have more choices. And then ultimately, they're producing results. And what I'm doing right now for myself and also teaching others is living life based on results.
I love that. Juvon says, look inward first, become your best self and everything outside of that will take care of itself. Juvon Langford is my guest right now. He's a men's empowerment coach and a phenomenal international speaker. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Again, my guest right now is Juvon Langford. It's good to have you on the show, brother.
Thanks for having me, brother.
So, entrepreneurship. It's something that I feel like everybody's trying to do nowadays. Yeah. It's like this trendy thing. It used to not be. It used to mean you didn't have a job.
Right.
Now entrepreneurship is, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to try to raise money. Yeah. I'm going to try to get a false valuation on my app or my technology. Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to become a coach or a guru. So everyone nowadays is trying to get into this space. But what do you think, how important do you think it is to be authentic as an entrepreneur where nowadays everyone's trying to have false valuations, pretend that they're a guru or an expert when they're in their first year of business.
Yeah.
And all this other falseness of being an entrepreneur nowadays with Instagram accounts and pictures and all this, only showing you the stuff they want you to see, the highlight reels.
Yeah.
How important is authenticity?
Well, it's everything. And honestly, it won't last. Anybody who's out there trying to become something that they're not built to become, it'll always fall apart. It'll always fall apart. People will always find their way at the exit. They don't belong in the room, whether that's in your life, whether it's in business, they don't belong there. It won't happen. Another thing is authenticity. When you're not authentic, what happens is some people have a strong will and others have a strong won't. And those who don't have that will to go the distance within that realm, they don't have the tools, they don't have the tips, they don't have the wherewithal to push through, they'll make their way out the room. So it's okay. I learned to, in the beginning for me, I used to be like, what are they doing here? This doesn't feel good. They shouldn't be here. And I was always projecting and focusing on them. But I've learned to stay in my own lane. So I don't worry about anybody else being inauthentic. I focus on me and diving deep and really discovering who I am and how I can be a better or bigger contribution to other people.
I love that, brother. Yeah. We got a guy, Steve. Steve's with us right now.
Okay.
Steve says, I've got a 9-to-5 job. I've got an idea. I've got passion. I've got purpose. But how can I get started? How can I go out and make this a reality? Because I've got my 9-to-5 job. It's what pays my bills. And I'm barely surviving financially. I've got maybe a couple hundred bucks or a couple thousand bucks in the bank right now. I don't really like what I do. It pays the bills. But I've got this deep burning desire to go out and turn this idea and my passion into a monetary business. But I'm uncertain and I'm afraid of what happens if I cut the cord.
Right.
What do you say to Steve?
Yeah, I say, well, come here, Stevie. Get over here, buddy. I say, Steve, what lights you up? I'd ask him that. And he'd tell me. And at that point, I would tell him, what are the prices that you're paying by not living that? And we go deeper into that. Because people don't understand how much they're robbing the people in their life by not being in alignment with why they're here. Right? We don't fully comprehend the prices people in our lives and that we are personally paying by not being in alignment. We're missing out on a lot of things. We're not having what we came for as a direct result of not doing the work it takes to discover the gift, discover the purpose. I didn't know that I want to be a men's empowerment coach or international speaker. I grew up in a household in foster care where there was more month than money. You know, we never really struggled or wanted for anything because I was always provided, but we didn't have much. I never thought that I could travel, that I'd be on, that someone would care what I'm doing in 18 months. I never thought that would be the case, you know, but I stood the course. I did the things that produce results daily. I surrounded myself with champions. I put in the work. I went within myself. I learned how to be alone and knowing that when I am with myself everywhere that I go, I'm never lonely because I bring me everywhere that I go. And so I've learned little tips and tools and nuggets, and I've read books, and I've surrounded myself with champions, with rock stars in business and in life. And it has supported me in transforming this thing called the mind. The mind is so precious, and what we tell it, how we speak to it influences how we show up in the world. And I just have learned to be gentle with myself and to be able to be understanding and to come from compassion versus confusion. We choose confusion so we don't have to do anything about it, you know? So a lot of people, I think, for me, ultimately, it's about living life based on results. It's about growing my awareness so that I have more choices and ultimately can change and transform the world and everybody I come into contact with.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for having me, brother.
My man. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
An entrepreneur has so little time to convince anyone they are the real deal. Here are some ways to help you pitch your business. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, be prepared. The way you conduct yourself when the tough questions come flying from all directions can determine the outcome of your pitch for better or worse. Number two, get to the point. With adult attention spans maxing out anywhere from 8 seconds to 20 minutes, presentations that fail to capture interest immediately and sustain it through the critical parts have a slim chance of winning. Number three, be real. We've all learned lessons, turned around a bad situation, and found inspiration in others' success. The powerful messages we learned from these stories are what make a business pitch real and the pitcher trustworthy to an audience. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty leaders and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its online MBA, Information Management, and Business Analytics Master's programs. Learn more about the W.P. Carey business degrees online. For more information, text RANK to 79645. That's RANK to 79645.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
How do you get more views on YouTube? We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Brandon Lucero. He's the founder of Sold With Video. Brandon, it's great to have you, brother.
Great to be here.
So how do you get more views on YouTube? I know you're an expert in that space.
So the very first thing you want to do is look at your target audience, who you're going to be turning into customers. And the next step in that is figuring out what are they looking for, what are they struggling with online. If we can determine kind of what their search behavior is or what they're really struggling with, we can then start to create content around those terms because we know they're actively looking for it. I mean, when you have a problem, when I have a problem, or you want to be entertained, I want to be entertained, we usually just go online, do a bunch of searches, and that's really the best place to start attracting a very targeted audience and start developing a ton of views. So that would probably be the very first step that I would recommend.
Okay, so something you said was, you don't just want to get views, you want to get targeted views for a specific ideal audience.
Yep.
Is that what you're saying? Based on the content and based on the product?
Based on both. So like, and you can even develop products around what they're searching for, because if they're searching for it, you know that they need a solution, right? Like, no one's gonna go search for information if they're not struggling with something.
Yeah.
So it's like the highest converting traffic we've ever gotten, because it's almost like cheating. You know,
you find the demand already.
Yeah, you know what their problems are, you know what they're struggling with, you know what they want. There's no guessing, there's no like, okay, well, let's do some interviews and try to figure out what people are doing and surveys and stuff like that. You know. Like,
well, how do you know, though? Where's the data? I know, like, so, there's Google Analytics and there's different things like that, and you can actually go on certain platforms and it'll tell you, this is the highest keyword search. This is the highest thing searched on YouTube.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
So where is that? How can people find that?
So there's a tool called the Google Keyword Planner tool that Google gives you. It's part of the AdWords platform, but they let you use it for free, and you can actually type in keywords, and they'll tell you how many people every month are looking for those terms.
What's the best way to do it? Should I only do it where it's an ad in the top right? Should I do it where the video pops up, or should I just test?
So there's two separate ways of doing it. One is all organically. Number two is paid advertising.
So what would organically be versus
organically
paid?
Would be like someone types in, let's say you own a baking school, like you want to get people enrolled into your baking school, and you're like, okay, they're looking how to make a cookie. You find that, you create that term so that, and you create the perfect video for that term. So then when someone actually goes into Google or goes into YouTube and types in how to make a cookie or how to bake a cookie, your video is the number one result organically, not the paid advertising.
Yeah.
But then when you incorporate paid advertising, it's like adding gasoline to the fire, because you know, you're in all over the place. You're in different spots.
And where's the best place to put the ad on YouTube?
I always like the pre-rolls that come up before, because you can actually target your competitors if you wanted to. If your competitors run ads on their channel to try to get some, like, you know, extra revenue coming in, you can literally take your video and put it right in front of theirs. So someone can click on their video to go watch it, and bam, yours pops up. So I always love the pre-roll. But you can come up in this top of the search. You can come up on the right side as well.
So what are the mistakes you see people making on YouTube?
The two biggest mistakes is that they just randomly pick topics that they think people are looking for, people want, and no one wants it. Mm. The second mistake is they do a lot of explaining why you should be doing something. But the thing is, someone lands on your video, they do a search, or they look at the thumbnail, they look at the title, they click on it, they already know the why. Like going back to that cookie example, no one's going to click on that video and then want to sit there and listen to why they need to make cookies. They already know why. Like, that's why they're there. So avoid the why and just get into, like, the what to do and adding value and being sure that you're creating something that they actually want and care about.
So it's counterintuitive, because I think sometimes you hear people say, start with the why.
Yeah.
But you're saying do the opposite and instead focus more on delivering value.
Yeah, because you got to look at the behavior of the person. Like, how are they getting onto that video? And if their intent is, I want the information, the why is already, they've already seen the why. Someone else has already explained it to them.
And if you did it right, the why should already be established.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So when you're on YouTube and people are searching for your videos, what is the timing? Is there a specific timing that you can put in front of the person? Like, is it remarketing? Is it, like, Ty Lopez is somebody that you know, both of us are familiar with in the space. He knows that if I watch one of his videos, the video is going to pop up almost on everything that I do now. So the timing of it comes into play, right?
Yeah, the timing does. I mean, the remarketing capabilities between YouTube and even Facebook, too. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous with even Facebook. Facebook video, I mean, that's a whole nother beast. But you can actually remarket to people. And one of my biggest things is not only just remarketing within YouTube and then the whole Google platform, but also getting them onto my property, because I could put any remarketing code I want. And once they hit my website or an email list, I can then remarket with all of my video content on Facebook, on YouTube, or any other Instagram, whatever platform I want.
So explain the remarketing first, just really simply. Dumb it down. You can get a pixel on your videos so that when somebody clicks it but doesn't buy, you can continue to put the ad in front of them. How does that work?
Yeah, so it's basically a like you said, a pixel that goes on to a website or something like that. They hit it, and then they go into what I call a bucket. And so the more views you get and people on your website, they go into this bucket. So for example, we're in a product launch right now. So what we've done, we actually started the process like 3 months ago, where we're constantly remarketing videos. So we know if they watch video number one, we're then sending them video number two, video number three. And there's no pitch, it's just straight value, and we're turning cold traffic into warm traffic. Now we're entering to the sales process, and we've built up a list of 100,000 people that have never heard of us, but we've built up a relationship with them over the last 3 months just because of the remarketing stuff. So it all started with YouTube, funnel them to a place, get them in a remarketing bucket, and then just hit them with value for a couple months to warm the traffic up, and then now it's right into our product.
So was that 100,000 people that you had pixeled, or was that 100,000 people that have given you their email?
It's 100,000 people that we've pixeled.
Okay, so do you have statistics on how many impressions it takes to get the person to buy? Like, statistically now, somebody's gonna see an ad, they have no idea who you are, what your product is, or anything like that. It's gonna take, on average, 16 times of them seeing your ad before they're gonna take action.
Well, that's the beauty of this, is we've been doing it for 2 or 3 months already. Mm. So like 8 of those 16 times could have already happened by now.
Okay.
So now what we're doing is now getting them onto our email list. And what's been happening is that we've been spending a lot of money, and on Facebook we're paying about a penny per view, so extremely cheap.
Yeah.
And then now we're getting them to go onto our email list, and we're getting people on our email list for under $1, which is like unheard of in the industry that we're in. But it's because we spent, you know, a couple $1,000s, which is not a lot of money at all compared to get a bucket of 100,000 people. And now we're getting them onto an email list to take them down our sales process. And all those leads are coming in at like well under $1.
Brandon, thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Of course.
Appreciate it. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.